Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Good morning. I'm Michelle Martin. Now, you might have been suffering some trauma in the bear market recently. Things were looking up last week, weren't they? Especially Thursday and Friday. If we take a step back, despite the U.S. economy in quite a lurch, with GDP contracting by 0.9% in the second quarter, inflation at 9.1%, as measured by the Consumer Price Index for June, we saw U.S. stocks unexpectedly rallying in the gloomy climate, especially last Thursday and Friday. And some people were saying, is this a sign that there's enough terror in the market to suggest that we've reached the bottom, that inflation could be rolling over and supply chains are repairing? Should you then be looking to increase your stock exposure? Well, let's put these questions to Swapnil Mishra, just the person we want to speak to if we feel some terror in the market, since he's the founder of an upcoming project called Wealth Zen. Will this give us Zen in markets, Swapnil?
I don't think we're there yet.
All right. He's also adjunct mentor at Singapore Management University. I was looking forward to a Zen moment today. Swapnil, are we in the early stages of a new bull market?
I mean, I can give a long worded answer and hide the fact that we don't know. But the short answer is no, is my view. And so we're not at the beginning of a bull market. I think we have some more adjustments to be made, some more, you know, repricing to be done, and Fed needs to see some more data. Corporate earnings need to adjust. Once that adjustment happens, I think then we are out of those.
It's just interesting to see after Wednesday and then 75 base point hike from Jerome Powell, markets rallying then on Thursday and Friday. I wonder what you think about that. I mean, why did that happen after Powell continues to signal the intention of crushing inflation with higher rates? Why did the market rally?
I think three factors over there. One is the sentiment just before the rate hike was announced, right? So entering into June end, the sentiment was so low and it was hot in Europe, and generally things were not looking that bright. So even you know, a mixed news or slightly positive news created a, I would say, a knee-jerk positive reaction. So sentiment was, I think, one factor. The second was, of course, the earnings, right? So you saw Netflix saying they lost a million subscribers, and that, you know, kind of was a, you know, that's what the New York Times headline was. Mm-hmm. Netflix announces you know, they lose a million subscribers and breathe a sigh of relief. So that sentence alone, or that headline alone, conveys the thinking process for both the companies and for the investors that anything which is, you know, remotely positive is actually good news. The third thing I feel, which kind of gets lost in the numbers. And I was just doing this for my own, you know, kind of analysis. So if you take, let's say QQQ ETF, right? So that's the one that tracks the NASDAQ. It was at 400 at the start of the year, and the low was, I think, 271. So it went down by 32%.
Wow.
It has recovered 16% from that 271 low. But the 16% recovery is actually only one-third recovery of the entire journey. So what happens is, in terms of numbers, a 32% correction and a 16% rally is not recovery of half the loss. It's actually much less, because you get the low base effect. So in other words, I don't think there is so much of a recovery also that has happened that, you know, we can start cheering about it and saying that, hey, you know, everything is great and we are in a bull market. So, we're still, you know, down 20%, 25% for the year.
So where should we be in the five stages of grief? Where should we be grieving when it comes to this market?
I don't think we should grieve. I think this is, see, if Fed gets it right,
yes,
and if corporates get it right, it'll all just be an adjustment. Just the way we have adjustments when we, you know, go on a diet. We don't have to suddenly stop eating. We just have to make certain changes. And that's what's going to happen with the loans, which is going to happen with the spending. It's not like people are not going to spend, right? We've seen that even in case of, you know, the earnings for Walmart and some of the other retailers. We've seen that it is the adjustments that are going to be tricky. So for the investors, it means not grief, but ensuring that we are doing things very similar to the way companies are doing, and, you know, balancing themselves, diversifying, ensuring that they are not, you know, caught exposed to one particular asset or one particular revenue line in their portfolio. So it's a need for rebalance and not grief for sure.
So on that five stages that Kubler-Ross gave us, Swapnil, it sounds like you're on level five. Are some people still caught in denial and anger and bargaining and depression? But there you are, level five of acceptance, Swapnil. I guess the question on people's minds is this a good time to start accelerating our buys in the market?
Actually, one data point which is interesting is the earnings estimates, right? So if you look at the past recession, and I was reading a report which said that if you see that recessions, they hurt profits, right? And that's a direct link, both from consumption and from shrinking margins. In our case, it is complicated because of supply chain disruption. So there is more, factors under pressure. The stock market hits the bottom once the forward earning estimates have been cut to a low. And that's what has happened in the last five cases.
Right.
The problem is today the forward EPS is still 7% up since the market peak, which basically means either the corporate earnings have hit the low and we have already passed that and recession is already here and we are kind of turning the corner, or it's likely to come. So I would say in the next quarter itself, we'll be able to see if the forecast for quarter four is going down or it is not going down. And that will be a much stronger indicator. So I would accelerate investing closer to the third quarter earnings and not at this stage.
Interesting.
Based on just this analysis.
Very interesting. Speaking about earnings, when you look at how the banks have been performing, it's interesting to look at how banks are performing in interest rate environments like this, where we're continually expecting an increase, even though we know there's no direct translation. But we saw Standard Chartered's underlying pre-tax profit rising 7%. When you look at how overseas banks are performing versus local banks, what sort of patterns are emerging?
I think in terms of earnings, net interest margin, of course, is a clear positive contributor to banks. So anybody who has a reasonably healthy loan book and retail business, they are able to benefit from the net interest margin. I mean, I see it and it hurts me when I see my loan mortgage cost going up from 0.5% to 2.5%, and savings account is the same. So I think that's definitely there. Beyond that, it's also a function of the way the banks have diversified their own earnings. So in case of for example, BNP has tried to move away from dependence on equity derivative revenue and moving more towards a equity trading revenue or a loan book. So some of these cases, the banks have been able to manage it better than the others. We've seen that in case of BNP for sure. In case of Standard Chartered, it has been another unique situation, which is their exposure, for example, to Sri Lanka and China, where they've had to take some write-downs because of the bad loans. So I guess from an earnings point of view, comparison between the local banks and the European banks, I think the diversification of their revenue streams is what European banks are trying hard to achieve. While in case of Asian banks, it's less dependent on deal flows, and that's a healthier, I would say, balance sheet, which is also reflected in better price-to-book ratios. So if you see the price-to-book ratios for banks in this part of the world, they are much better than the European banks, which are actually at they're penalized, on the lower price-to-book ratios.
Okay, I just want to pick up on something interesting that you mentioned, the pain of seeing your mortgage go up and at the same time realizing that it's still brutal for savers given those low interest rates. Do you think banks should be compelled to pay out better interest rates on savings, consumer banks?
I think it's from a bank's point of view, it all mixes up into the balance sheet, right? So a million customers give $20,000 each in their savings account, and the bank kind of collates that and gives it out as a loan, and on the loan pricing it makes more money. So one way to say whether to penalize the bank or to mandate the bank to not keep all the margin for themselves and pass on some of that to the depositor, I mean, if I put a socialist hat, yes, I think that is good. But I tell you, month on month, it hurts because you see it and you also see your savings account.
I know. That's why I'm somewhere between denial and anger and bargaining. All right. Let us continue our look into how you are viewing the markets these days. So you talked a little earlier about, you know, whether or not we should be accelerating our buys into the market. Some people looking at, you know, less at speculative names and more at the safer names, less likely to fall in these volatile times, possible retests of June lows, should we see that happen. What are your key takeaways in terms of how to move forward during these times as an investor?
So I would say one is to continue what we have been actually talking, you know, in our chats as well over the last 2-3 months. Mm. One clear pattern is to increase value in your portfolio. So value investing is something which is important. So you need to have energy financials, you need to have real estate, you need to have things which are stronger, stable businesses. And the good news is that in the last 1 month, yeah, actually value has not done so well. So it's actually the growth stocks which really caught up, and you had your, you know, usual Amazon, you know, Google, Apple, those kind of growth kind of stocks took off in the last 1 month in this recent rally. Mm. So I would say continue the, you know, reducing the dependence on growth in the portfolio, especially if historically investors had, like, you know, 80% of their portfolio was in these growth companies. So that's one. Second is, of course, the alternative, like your commodities, energy, real estate. These assets are very important to be there in the portfolio, if not for giving you 25% return, but at least to give you stability and some kind of base in the portfolio. And now the other question that people have been thinking about or debating is whether this is the time to sell some of the stocks that have rallied.
Right.
I don't think so. I mean, I know we, you know, a lot of people got the buy on dip call right a month back.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite possible recession is already here, and it's quite possible that we see Fed being more gentle in the way they handle this. And you could very well see markets just continue in this, you know, trade in this range, S&P 500, let's say between 3,800 and 4,300. That's a range where you don't want to rush and sell. That's not. So stay diversified and look at opportunities to add value in your portfolios. And yeah, and then, you know, buy on dips if you get that chance.
Because value is looking good right now. Thank you, Swapnil, for those insights. We appreciate it. Have a great day ahead.
I forgot the song.
I did forget. He won't let me, you know. He's put some thought into that. How could I? We always issue challenges to our guests. And for Swapnil, his challenge is, can he pick a song that mirrors the market? Swapnil, what's on your playlist?
So, you know, in 7-Eleven, prices of chocolates have also, Snickers bar, I think, has become more expensive by probably 20 cents. Everything is expensive. And so I thought the song that comes to mind is by Fifth Harmony, one of the old songs, you know, Worth It.
I wish I had it. Is it Worth It? Is that a Beyonce song? I think it is.
The Fifth Harmony, the girl band.
Oh, what is it? What is it called?
Fifth Harmony.
Fifth Harmony. Okay, got it.
It came from the X Factor route, yeah. So check out the song. It's. I mean, it was catchy once upon a time.
I'll see if I can pull it up on YouTube for our listeners. Swapnil, thank you so much. Have a great day ahead.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.